tonight, and I'm glad you came. It's good to hear the good singing and feel the good presence of the Lord and just enjoy God's blessings. And I appreciate Brother Lashley and the people here. I believe it's 15 times I've been to the church, and I hope the Lord let me come another 100 years and amen, preach Brother Lashley's funeral. Say amen, that wouldn't be bad. But we appreciate being here tonight, and we appreciate your prayers, and we're glad for you that brought a friend. Bible says a friend sticketh closer than a brother. And the Bible said he that hath friends must first show himself friendly. And we have to show ourselves friendly if we're going to have friends. And I appreciate this night. I appreciate the preachers that are with us tonight. It's always good to have preachers. I appreciate them. And missionary, I'll tell you. And Tori, it's good to have you tonight. I preached to him when he was a little boy. He's going to the mission field. Somebody's getting old around here. I don't know who it is, but praise God. Somebody's aging around here. You know it. It don't take long to age. But we do appreciate you coming and the blessings of the Lord. And I hope you'll be here every night. You know, we're singing about revival. You can't have revival if you come one night and miss a night. If you want revival, just get in and ask God to do something for your life and ask God to challenge you, and you accept that challenge and we'll have revival. Boy, we'll leave here every night reaching up and getting the clouds if we'll just believe God and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. All right, you have your Bible tonight. I want you to turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amazing story here in the Word of God. You know, the Bible all is amazing. I said last week one night, I was preaching in the last five verses, and I might do that this week, I don't know, of the book of the Revelation, the last message that God had for the world. You see, when Revelation 22, and did you know, I didn't know that John on the Isle of Patmos was a southerner. You say, you don't know whether he's a southerner. Yes, I do. He said, you all say amen right there. That's what he said. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's the way the Bible closes. And but the Bible starts right. And thank God it ends right. And everything in between's right. So you don't have to worry about this book. We just need to stand on it and preach it and believe it and enjoy the blessings that come from studying and preaching the Word of God. What a blessing. All right. Here is an amazing story. I don't know where you've ever thought about it or not, but David was let down and discouraged and defeated, and that's what you'll find a lot of God's people doing. But the scripture says that there was a little city here called Ziklag, and Ziklag was invaded by the Amalekites, and the treasures of that city were destroyed and taken away. Their wives, their children, the Bible said, was taken from Ziklag. And I'm going to read about that. And then I'm going to preach to you tonight on some things that we need to recover. Now listen, before I stand, we stand and read the scripture. You stand with me. 40 years ago, there were some things that we lost. And some things that we've been losing just every year. It seems like we get farther and farther away. But brother, we need to recover some things tonight that used to be in the house of God. We need to recover some things that we had in revival several years ago. So with that in mind, I want you to stand with me all over the house quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. We'll read four verses, and then we, because of time, we'll reach over and get verse 18 and 19. The Bible said, verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives and were therein. And they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, And behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David, boy, I like this. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Oh, listen. The Bible says, and they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, then notice with me, please, over in verse 18 and 19. And then we'll pray and I'll bring you the message tonight. And David, verse 18, recovered all. I like that. That the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, and neither spoil or anything that they'd taken to them. Notice now, David recovered all. I'll tell you, that's one of the most amazing statements you'll ever read. And David recovered all. He just didn't go back and get part of it. The Bible said he recovered all. Would you be seated, beloved, all over the house? Would you bow your head for just a word of prayer? Father, how we thank you tonight for another privilege of coming to the house of worship to be blessed by the Spirit of the Lord. And our Father, we come recognizing without the Holy One and without the touch of God and without the reality of the Spirit of the Lord, the preaching of the Word would be valid. But I pray tonight we may have that touch. Lord, that you may give us a hunger for revival. Revive us again in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy, that thy people may rejoice again. Oh, how we need to rejoice, because God is in the midst of his people doing a work that needs to be done. Now, Father, speak to our hearts and make this a blessed time. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for every soul that's saved and every Christian that's stirred and challenged. And all you do, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on some things we need to recover. No doubt, many of you go back to a country church, go back to that old preacher that used to preach, and you remember there were some things that have changed and we've lost them. I say in the last 40 years, there are many things that we've lost, but there are many things that need to be recovered. And in just a moment, I'll get into the message. But notice here, by way of introduction, the Bible said God's people were invaded by the enemy. The Amalekites came in and took those precious treasures. I want to tell you, the devil would steal the most precious thing that you have, my friend. The devil is out to destroy, and he's out, my friend, to take away everything that's precious. And so they did from Ziklag. And the Bible says they wept, verse 4, until there was no more power to weep. And the scripture says in verse 18 and 19, and David recovered all. If you have your pencil tonight, I want to speak to you on some things we need to recover. First of all, we need to recover the fear of God. Oh, the awesomeness of recognizing that the Bible said, fear him. And I believe this tonight we've lost it. The devil has stolen the fear of God out of our hearts. How wonderful it is to have that fear. Listen to what this book says. The Bible says in Romans 3:18, having no fear of God before their eyes. Hebrews 10 verse 31 says, and the scripture said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Look over in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, and the Bible said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. I don't know about you, but I fear the Lord. He has my breath in his hand. He has my future in his hand. Mister, we need to fear God Almighty in this day in which we live. But there's a sacrilegious spirit. There is a spirit of rebellion, and the fear of God, I'm afraid we've lost. Look at one portion of scripture. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied about giving, and God struck them down. I'll tell you, if God killed everybody in the church tonight that lied about money, there wouldn't be enough undertakers to bury the dead in East Tennessee. Say amen. Why, you know I'm telling you the truth. And the Bible said Ananias lied and Sapphira lied, and God struck them dead. But wait, it said in all the church, great fear came upon the entire assembly. Everybody in that church said, oh, it's fearful. God has moved in judgment. And I say to you that are here tonight, beloved, we need the fear of God. And the scripture said all of the church had great fear. I tell you, we'd have revival if we could have the fear of God restored back in our hearts once more. I tell you, I fear God tonight, not in a way that I know that he's unjust, but I fear God because he's holy. I fear God because he is just. I fear God tonight. And the first thing we need to recover is that fear of God. Now, a lot of you don't understand what fear is. I had a good, kind mother, and I had a kind dad. But mother, I could always talk her out of anything. I mean, anything came up, I could talk mother out of it, but not dad. Boy, when he said, I'll whip you, it was good night, Irene. Say amen. I knew, and boy, I feared him. I feared my daddy. You hear me? I feared him, not mother. Mother would say to me, Mace, you'll get me some stove wood. Now, most of you folks don't know what stove wood is. That's right. You know, it's a modern age. You just push a button. You have a switch in your house for everything but the kids. Say amen. But you put her down just as sure as your name's what it is. My name's Brother Mace. We need, but anyway, mother would say to me, go get some stove wood. And I'd say, mother, I'm fragile. You're going to kill me. I'm 13. And surely you wouldn't slap your child. I'll pop your jaw, she'd say. And I'd say, sure enough, would you do that, mother? And about that time, my daddy down the hall would say, Mace Jr., and I'd say, excuse me, and out the door I went. And you say, where were you going? I was going to pick up every stick of Stowood in that county. Brother, that's where I was going. You say, why? Because I feared my dad. If you fear your parents, how much more should we fear God Almighty? I say the first thing we need to recover fear, the fear of God. Number two, we need to recover that first love that we had when we first got saved. Why, when we first got saved, listen, it's so exciting. I want to tell you, do you remember, Jack, when you first got saved, how thrilled you was about it? Amen. You didn't have to drag you into church then. Say amen. Praise God. None of us did. Amen. I want to tell you, when I first got saved, I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I'd just read the Bible. I'd pray, and I'd be at the church 30 minutes before they even thought about opening the doors. You say, well, what was the matter? I had a first love. I'd fallen in love with Jesus. And oh, let me say this to you. What a blessing it is to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. To have an exciting love. A love, listen to me, that'll make him the most wonderful thing in your life. I tell you, boy, that's what our churches need. But we need to recover that first love. What a blessing. If you'll take your Bible and you get home and read Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, he says, I know about the seven churches of Asia Minor. And let me stop long and say this. God knows every church. God knows every person. God knows everything there is to be known. Nothing is hid from the eyes of God. They run to and fro upon the face of this earth. But notice something here. And the scripture says about one church, the first church, I know thy works. And he said to the church at Ephesus, I know that you've labored. Now, brother, that's something. You don't find many people that will labor anymore for Jesus. We used to sing, we'll work till Jesus comes. Now we've traded it off until it's all but grace and nobody wants to work anymore. Say amen. Now I know that salvation's by grace, but we need to work. And oh, it's hard to get people to work. He said, you're not a lazy bunch. He said, secondly, he said, I know your patience. Now I don't have any patience. I'm honest with you. You say, well, why don't you get it like the Bible said? I don't want it that way. Tribulation worketh patience. Say amen. Now, you'll have enough of that tribulation, brother. You don't worry about that. But you hear me? Verse 4 in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, he said, nevertheless, you may be a laboring people and a patient people, but I want to tell you something. That he said, you have left your first love. Oh, he said, you need to recover it. You need to repeat. You need to repent. And brother, there never has been a time in the church history where Christians are like they were years ago. Oh, that first love is so exciting. What a blessing it is to see people that you can say, hey, he just got saved. You don't have to tell them many times. Boy, I'll tell you, they're so excited about it. That first love just rings out. And he said, nevertheless, I've got somewhat against you because you've left your first love. I'm going to ask you one question, tell you a little illustration, and go to the next point. Do you love Jesus like you did last year? Do you love him like you did the night you walked that aisle and Jesus saved you and turned you around? Do you love him like you did, brother? Do you really love him like you did that day? Oh, happy day. I want to tell you, God saved me the second year taking final exams at North Carolina State University. But I want to tell you, when he saved me, boy, I was so happy. I told everybody on that campus, bless God, I was going to heaven. I was happy about it. I wasn't ashamed of the Bible. Wasn't nobody else up at North Carolina State carrying the Bible but me. Boy, I tell you, I didn't have it a few days while we were taking final exams the second year. But I told them, I said, you know, I got saved. I said, I'm a new person now. I said, Jesus said, come into my heart. That old dean had me in. You know what he wrote my daddy? He said, your boy's got off of the rocker. And when I got home that summer, Dad said, are you off of your rocker? I said, no, I just got in it. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I just got in the rocker. I was born of the Spirit of God and changed. And what a blessing it was. That first love. I'll tell you, I went to every tent meeting. I went to every meeting in Henderson County. When I got back home, I said, you know, I want to know more about my Lord. I went to every time the church door was open, Haskell. I was right there in the midst of that meeting. I wanted that first love to last forever. And brother, we need to recover that first love. My wife took me to the airport this afternoon, and she said, you know, I know how I love you after 45 years. Ain't that terrible to leave your husband with that? And I said, 3 weeks ago, and I said, sick, you didn't say that. Oh, she said, you're well. She said, I'll have to run you down to judgment. She said, praise God. It's going to be different. But you know what I told her? I said, bless the Lord. I remember when I'd come to your house and you was excited. Now, you can't believe it, but I was skinny one time. Had a lot of hair. And I'd go to see her. I was excited. It's the first love. I'm telling you what's true. My daddy said, son, it's puppy love. I said, yeah, but it'll lead to a dog's life if I'm not careful. Praise God. But you know, I want to tell you, it was sweet. And my wife said to me, oh, 5 or 6, maybe 10 years ago, she said, after we'd been married about 35 years, she said, Mays, said, when you used to come with that little green hornet, I never liked to look like a preacher. I know preachers want to look like him. I don't. I never did want to have a car like a preacher. I never did. Well, the first car I had after I started preaching was a little green hornet. I had a fox tail on it. Say amen right there. Amen. Somebody said, but they didn't know. Yeah, they knew I was a preacher. They could hear me shouting before I got to church. They knew I was a preacher. Praise God. But you know what? I'd drive up to her house when we were going together, And I didn't go in there like some of you boys do when you go see your girl pull up into the, you know, the driveway and knock rocks plumb up on the front porch when you stop your car. Sat down on the horn, ooga, ooga, ooga. You know what I did? I got out and I slipped up on the porch and I took her by the hand and I took her out, opened the door, helped her in the car, shut the door easy, and then got in and pulled off slow. She told me, oh, 10 years ago, she said, now, Mays, I have to ask you to slow down so I can get my leg in the door, bless God. And she said, that first love is gone. I want to say to you tonight, you hear me? David went back, and the Bible said he recovered it all. What a blessing, he recovered it all. Fear, first love. Faithfulness is something we need to recover. Oh, we need people that you can say, you can count on him. I was reading the other day in the book of Judges, and it said every man stood in his place. I like that. Oh, what would this church do if every person in this church would find his place? Amen, Sandy boy. I want to tell you, it'd be a blessed church. And every man was faithful. Now, I've always wanted to sing, and I can't sing. They asked me in West Virginia last week, hey, said, don't you sing? And I said, no, I don't know but one little chorus, and it goes like this. I'm under the spout where the glory comes out. There I'll always remain where there's plenty of rain. Under the spout where the glory comes out. I said, I can't sing. I don't even know the notes. But I said, I can open my mouth and I can let it fly. But hear me, I never have been able to sing. But oh, I love that song when it talks about being faithful to the Lord Jesus. And one day when I stand before him, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 said, it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. Not a good singer, not a good preacher. It said that he be found faithful. Everybody in this house can't sing. Everybody in this house, listen to me, can't teach a Sunday school or sing in the choir or be on the bus ministry. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can be faithful to the cause. Thank God for people that you can count on. My oldest grandson's down at Pensacola College now. I remember when he was just a little boy around the house. And he came to me and he said, had a little thing, in just a little round thing, and it was on a string. And he said, what is this, Pappy? And he'd throw it out and he'd run back up that string. I knew what it was, but I had to get him. He said, you know what this is, Pappy? I said, it's a Baptist. That's what it is, bless God. And he said, no, it's not a Baptist. I said, I know it is. He's down and he's up. Amen. Blow hot, blow cold. We need some folks that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need to recover that old-fashioned faithfulness. And I told my wife, I said, when I come to the end of the journey, I said, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful. I can be faithful to this Bible. And ever since God saved me, I've been faithful to the Bible. I've been faithful to this book. Somebody said, you believe it all? I even believe the outside where it said Holy Bible. Say amen. I believe the Word of God. I believe it's the inspired, inerrant Word, brother. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Don't you worry about this, boy. She'll last. What a blessing that is. I've tried to be faithful. Look in Matthew 25 when you get home. Bible said a certain Lord came and he gave one man 5 talents and one man 2 talents and one man 1 talent. Now I'm going to give you something from this. And he said, I'm coming back. Do what you can. Be faithful. And the first man, when he got back, had 5 talents. He said, I have 10 now. I worked hard. And the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. He looked at the guy he gave 2. And he said, how about you? Oh, he said, I took the 2 talents and I got me 2 more. And he said the same thing to the man that had 2 talents as to the man that had 5. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Then he looked at the man that had the wee little one talent. It's like some of you said, well, I can't do very much. Be faithful with what you have, and God will bless you with what you have. Oh, listen to me. He turned and he said to the one with the one talent, what about you? Oh, he said, you're a hard master. Now, wait a minute. Nobody can accuse Jesus of being hard. He's the best master I've ever served. Oh, I want to tell you something. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And mister, you don't have to worry about it. Listen to me. He's a good master. I wished I'd have been as good to him as he's been to me. Oh, let me tell you something. When I think about how good God's been to me, somebody said, why don't you complain? I ain't got nothing to complain about. Oh, I'm just going to praise the Lord for what he's done and what he's going to do. And I like that sign, reaching new heights. When you reach that one, get another one. And keep on reaching for the glory of God and what a blessing it is. But he said, you're a hard master. And he said, I hid mine. I digged a hole and I hid it. And he said, dig it up. And he took the one the man had and gave to the man that had 5 talents and made 5 more. And he looked at that man and cast him out. I want you to know, he said, you're a wicked servant. I wouldn't want the Lord to call me a wicked servant. I'd want the Lord to say he's a faithful servant. I like what Mark Twain said one time. I don't think y'all like this, but I liked it. Mark Twain said, they had a very good servant in his house down there in Florida, and said she was a good servant. And said one day we heard her scream, and said we ran into the kitchen and she'd fallen over on the stove and burned herself fatally. And he said, you know, I had no trouble. And I went in because I loved her, and I put my arm around her. And I said, looked at that stove, and I looked at her, and I said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I thought that was a terrible way to say it. Say amen. Amen. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, that's not what the Lord's talking about. He's talking about run the race. He's talking about being faithful. He's talking about being true. He's talking about the things of God that are going to count when you leave this world. Most of the things that you did today won't count. Bless God, most of the things I did today won't count 100 years from now. I want to be faithful with the things. We need to recover faithfulness. Then jot this down. David recovered also. We need to recover. We need to recover, my friends. Oh, the flowing tears that used to be in the house of God. And our little mothers used to weep. And our daddies used to weep. They had flowing tears. Jeremiah the great prophet said, oh, that mine eyes would become, oh, as a fountain that flow, my tears would run and flow. Listen to me. I believe tonight with all of my soul we need to recover those flowing tears. I went to church. I don't remember where it was, but they had an altar and a place over here, and they had some Kleenex every 18 inches, box of Kleenex. And I said, preacher, what's that? He said, that's to wipe the tears away. He said, I want them to be broken when they come down here to kneel in front before a holy God. And I want to have some Kleenex there for them to wipe their tears away. Well, I got to thinking, and I said, praise the Lord for churches that are not ashamed to cry, for preachers that are not ashamed to cry, for singers that are not ashamed to cry. We need some flowing tears. It's a blessed thing when I remember when I first started preaching 50 years ago about it. Listen to me. They'd come up to me and ask me to sign their Bibles. And I had a real burden of what to put under my name. And I still, after all those years, put the same thing. If I signed your Bible 20 years ago, or if I signed it tonight, it'll be the same. 1 Timothy 1:15. But I had a battle with Psalm 126 and verse 6. Here's what it said: He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Those flowing tears, what a blessing it is to have the recovery of people who are willing to weep before the Lord. I tell you, it's a blessing. Look in your Bible when you get home, 2 Kings chapter 20. You'll find a man that was dying. Find a man who was dying. The Bible said a preacher knocked on his door and said, Hezekiah, said, you better get your house ready because you are going to die. He said, set your house in order for you're going to die. And boy, he left him with that solemn message. And when he went down the road, the Isaiah, back to the place where God told him to go give that solemn message, Bible said, Hezekiah leaned on the wall and wept till his tears ran down the wall. And boy, while he was weeping and while he was praying, God heard him and saw his tears. I want to tell you something. How long has it been since God witnessed your tears? How long has it been since you cried a little? I got to thinking this morning early, boy, and I got to crying. You say, you a cry baby. Don't bother me. I'm having the best time I ever had. Did you know a Christian's the only one that can cry and shout and laugh all the same time, be normal? Say amen. And brother, that's normal. That's not odd. That's normal. I got to crying. Oh, just how good God had been. Oh, it just blessed me to think about it. God, in all of his greatness, had time for me. God, who runs this thing, and whether you believe it or not, he's still on the throne. God would look down and say, Mays, I loved you, and I still love you. And I sent my son to Calvary to die for you. And God said, Isaiah, go back and knock on Hezekiah's door and spread the good news and say, Hezekiah, stop praying. God's heard you. Stop crying. God has witnessed your tears. Friends, let me say here, we need to recover flowing tears. Now, jot down this last thing. We need to recover those forsaken burdens that we forsook. Listen, the burden's never too... God puts a burden on you, it's not too heavy. Oh, we need to ask God to burden us down for this revival. Praise the Lord until we'd have a burden to see our children saved. We'd have a burden to see our church stirred and revived. Whether we need that burden... Oh, when Zion travailed, sons and daughters were born. You know what that means? It means when Zion had a burden, she got her people saved. Mother, you'll never get your daughter saved until you get a burden for your daughter. Dad, you'll never get your son saved until you can't live with yourself. You say, oh God, the burden's heavy. I don't know what to do. I can't carry it till you save him. Boy, he'll save him. I like that burden for souls. We lost many. We need to recover that burden. I remember when they used to come, they didn't call it church up in Hendersonville in the mountains where I came from, North Carolina. They called it the meeting place. And they'd come to that meeting place with a burden. And I'd hear somebody start to cry and say, let's pray. Old George or James over yonder. Oh, he beats his family. He's mean as a devil. And he drinks. And let's pray God will put him under conviction. And they'd get the awfulest burdens. Boy, everyone in that church would start praying and weeping. And sometimes that meeting would go 3 weeks. And all the burdens would get heavier and heavier and heavier. And about 3 weeks, you'd see old George or James come down that aisle, all bent over, tears streaming down his cheeks, and he says, I'm coming home to God. I can't live on with my condition. I'm coming home to God.
But we've forsaken those burdens. We don't want to carry them. It's better to come to church and just sing a little. It's better to come to church and give a little money. It's better to come to church and listen to a little preaching. But when you come to the church and say, Lord, lay that burden on me. I want to tell you something's going to pick up around here. That burden, we need to recover those fallen burdens. Let me give you two in the Bible. And I tell you, they had real burdens. Years I didn't understand this. Moses said, God, you either save my people or blot my name out. Oh, he said, I can't go on until you save these people that have wickedly rebelled against you. And brother, that's a prayer. He said, I'm willing to die and go to hell to get my people saved. Boy, when you get kind of burdened there, listen to me. And then Paul, he said, for 3.5 years, I didn't leave a stone unturned, so to speak. He said, with tears, I warned you. For 3.5 years, supposing you'd go in the morning and you'd start crying and your son said, what's wrong, mother? She'd say, I got a burden that you'll be saved. And then the next morning you'd go in and mother, you'd be crying. Paul said, I did that for 3.5 years. Every time they'd met me, I wept over my people. Whoa, he said, I had a burden for my people. I want to tell you something, folks, as sure as you're here, my name's Mace Jackson in this service. When we get that burden, oh, then sons and daughters will be born. And then, listen to me, we'll see those that are not reached. We'll reach out and we'll reach them with the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I like that burden. I was in a meeting years ago at a little church called Fletcher, North Carolina. It's the Baptist church there. I guess it's 45 years ago. And I saw people get under burdens. Man, I'll tell you, that little old town between Hendersonville and Asheville was stirred. People were getting out of bed, coming down to church, and said, I can't sleep. I want to get saved. And I said, and there the preacher, Brother Violet Smith, he's in heaven now, would say to him, or maybe one of the deacons said, how come he'd get out of bed? How'd you know we had that burden? And they'd say we couldn't sleep. We were choking to death. Oh, you say, preacher, those are the days when God saved people. Listen, we need to recover those forsaken burdens that those folks had. And we need to say, God, I'll pay the price. I'll do what needs to be done. And God would give revival. Ever head bowed, ever eye closed, oh, pass. While your head is about, while your eyes are closed. The Bible said David recovered all. We may not be able to recover all. I hope we can this week. East Tennessee. Listen to me, East Tennessee. Years ago, boy, they had burdens, but they've forsaken them. Oh, hear me. Years ago, they feared God. But I'm afraid we've lost that fear of God tonight. Years ago, our grandparents and parents prayed, knelt before God in holy prayer. And said, God, we want to be faithful. We may not be able to do much up here in the mountains of Tennessee, but we're going to be faithful. Years ago, hear me, our people, because I was there in the midst of them, they had a love that was first. They loved Jesus first. And they never lost that love. Oh, they just rejoiced. They didn't rejoice in things and they didn't rejoice in thrills, but they rejoiced in the Lord. Listen to me. They had that first love. And oh, how we need that tonight. I tell you, do you have a boy or a girl or a neighbor or a friend that's not saved and you'd like to see them saved in this meeting, you know what we can do? We can come down here tonight and get on our knees and call out their names to the Lord. We can say, God, David recovered all at Ziklag. He went back and took the treasures that carried away and brought them back. And he recovered all. And Lord, help us. You know what you need to recover tonight. You know whether or not that sweetness, the fellowship of God's real in your heart. Now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. I probably won't ask you this anymore after tonight. But how many of you really, you have a hunger and a thirst to see God move in your family, in your life, and in the church here this week? Would you slip up your hand? Let me see it. Nobody looking but the good pastor. Hold them up. God bless you, precious folk. You know God will do it. God will do it. If we'll obey him, and that's all we're going to ask you to do any night and every night, is to obey the Lord. Never will we ask you to do anything but one, that's obey God. I want to ask you something. Is God talking to you about something that I mentioned from the Word that you need to come to this altar about? Would you slip up that hand and be honest and say, yes, preacher, God spoke to me tonight. Lift up that hand. Let me see it. Then you can take it down. Just slip it up there. You're saved, but God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God keep lifting them up. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you over here. God bless you over here. Just keep lifting them up. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Yes, down here, I don't front, and I missed it. Here's another. I saw some more in the back. Would you lift your hand again? Oh, listen to me. You say, preacher, I want you to know God is speaking to my heart. I want you to know the Spirit of God has dealt with me tonight. Father, we're going to sing. I feel like we ought to sing and the altar's open. Oh, God, how we need to recover these treasures, spiritual treasures, these blessings. Oh, that were so precious. Oh, may every preacher come and every deacon come and every Sunday school teacher come. And Lord God, I pray that everyone in this house will be obedient. If there's one lost and on his way to hell, oh, I plead the blood that tonight he may fall under great conviction. I pray tonight, dear Lord, for that one that's here and he's saved, but he is out of fellowship and he's not walking close to God. Oh, Lord, speak to him. And have your way now in this invitation. May every person obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to stand all over the house. Everyone standing all over the house. Nobody leaving for just a moment. Listen to me. We're going to sing in just a moment. I want everybody in this house, visitor and member, I want mothers and dads and sons and daughters to come down here like some have already met here. And I want you to ask God for that you need, not the one for the one next to you. Say, God, I have a need tonight in this revival. I want that need to be met. And now, Lord, by your grace, I'll pay the price. And if we'll obey God, mister, we'll have revival. I'd like to see one. I haven't seen any lately. But wouldn't it be wonderful to see Buffalo Ridge break forth with great singing of revival and repenting and believing and, oh, serving God with gladness? Listen tonight. God's spoken to many of you. Will you come? What are we singing, dear brother?
271, Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home, 271. You know it. If you need a book, just pick up the book, but sing it. Come right on down here. We're going to kneel. There ought to be 100 people on the altar in the next, before the stanza's out. Just come right on. We're going to pray. Thank God there is a plan. Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen. Lord, I'm coming.
Just keep coming. Whoever you are, listen, you say, preacher, God is speaking to me tonight. I want you to look this way while they're praying here. Some of you are members of the church and you hold office in the church. You have been down here on your knees. I want you to come. Folks, there's only one way to God, one way to revival. That's humble yourself before God. And until we're willing to humble ourselves, get down on our knees, confess our sins, and fall in love with Jesus all over again, listen, we'll never see God move. And I want every one of you, all you bus people ought to be here. My, what a load you carry on him.